up this letter if these voices in your head say yes or no? Where to go? You can live without them. Stardust, the game that chooses fate as if there's no choice. Dead or alive, dead or alive. You can run away to freedom. Go out even if your heart can't cope with the fear in your doubts. You can get through even if they will hold.
Okay, cool. So here we are, Danganronpa 3.
Danganronpa,
episode 4.
Episode 4. Oh, well, season 3, episode 4, I think. Something like that. Yeah. We're just rolling in. We're just rolling. Just absolutely barreling down the road to ultimate despair. Oh, my God. I almost had you. I pulled out my ninja sword and almost had you, but you parried me. At the
I
last second.
You like that weird old man with his fucking wrist darts. So
hold on.
I don't know
No. I cannot allow you to continue unless we talk about the intro, which is Ultimate Despair Reprise, Danganronpa Recap Podcast, going through the entire Danganronpa series, one murder at a time. Loosely.
Yeah, there weren't any murders, I don't think.
I don't think so. We just had a non-lethal explosion. Well, I'm Kyrie, the ultimate host.
I'm Jennifer, the ultimate fangirl.
I'm Jackie, the ultimate assassin. I'm so good at it, I can kill you non-lethally.
Yeah, it's great. Like, you know, you just, like, set up a plastic explosive goatee. Yeah.
I literally said in the Discord when we were talking about that plot development of, like, Okomaeda blows up the auditorium, but nobody gets injured at all. Miraculously, there is your injuries. And I'm like, oh, that's what they must be. That's what they must mean when they say plastic explosives.
fucking Fisher-Price C4. Like,
God,
is that
we
what
love
we're
it.
Talking?
Metal Gear Solid, I think that's a Metal Gear Solid thing. I think Snake uses that.
Well, but we are, in fact, talking about Future Side and Despair Side Episode 4.
Spoiler warning.
Spoilers, yes, I guess. That being said, you know it's episode 4 because Monokuma at the beginning of Despair Side goes, oh, did any of those idiots who only watched 3 episodes duck out by now? Let me give you a recap.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Why would he get... Do people skip the first 3 episodes?
No. Well, no. Like, it is like...
I know the 3-episode rule exists, but like...
Yes, but that is also, like, it's kind of, I wouldn't say codified in the Japanese anime, like, community, but they have, like, the sort of 3-episode rule is pretty, like, in both in the English-speaking fandoms and, like, Japanese fandoms, is a pretty universal rule, and it's not about, like...
Oh, I thought that was just something that we did for our podcast.
No, it is actually a... thing people have been doing for a long time, because it turns out, like, with most anime, you know, there was a really great video on this, I'll have to put in the show notes. It was about, like, how, like, Japanese 4-act structure kind of goes, and with a 12-episode anime, you tend to see the first act in the first 3 episodes, which gives you a pretty good idea of how things are going.
Yeah, though, if it's going by airing order, it's more like the first 6 episodes.
Shh, Monokuma doesn't need to know that.
Yeah.
Monokuma's listening to all our conversations.
Monokuma isn't listening. Monokuma listens to all of our conversations, but he doesn't care. We pose no threat to the plan.
They're like, oh, these 3, like, jackal, jack, jackalat,
You good?
Nah, Yeah, I do. I'm hosting a Danganronpa podcast.
Are you sunsetting?
Yeah, a little. I'm in the best years of my life and the entire world's on fire. All right.
Oh, same.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're in Despair Side. And after the intro, we find out, you know, Mudokata, basically, he doesn't kill Makota. Makota? What?
Makota. Damn, Kiri, should I take over?
No. Every time you do, we get a little just too much. It just becomes too much.
So, Mudokata doesn't kill Makoto for some reason.
Well, he says later in the episode when Makoto is like, well, why didn't you kill me? He's like, well, I need to draw every, like, he suspects not only Makoto as being, like, corrupted by despair or whatever, but he's like, well, you and your friends are probably all this way, so.
Yeah, and he thinks so highly of himself that he's like, clearly the killer's plan here is that he's going to kill me, and then the game will just end, and the future foundation will be fully compromised, because so, I'm the important one here.
Well, no, from what I understand, from when I watched the episode, I think his reasoning was that, like, if there were, like, because of the way the killing game this time is run, the killer could just choose to, it ends when people stop dying, when we go 24 hours without a death. So he kind of explicitly says that, like, so, like, the plan could just be to, for the killer to kill a couple people and be like, all right, cool, you know, whoever gets got, you know, whoever the cast goes, like, okay, this is the killer, let's get rid of him, and then they do him in.
Right.
And then the actual killer can just be like, okay, cool, I'm done killing people for now, and then they get into the, and then, you know, of course everybody goes, oh, the killer's dead. And,
Which
he says that, and I, like, that makes sense, but also that's, like, it feels a little contrived, but also, like, Mudokata's a blowhard, it's fine.
Yeah, it is actually fine. Again, Mudokata funny strategy moments.
I mean, it kind of makes sense to not kill Makoto, but also it's like, or well, but also he does specifically say, like, Makoto is an incredibly dangerous individual. You could just make the decision not to trust the people even after the killing game ends. You could just be like, okay, we need to do, like, a full background vet on you fuckers.
Right.
And then do it.
I mean, maybe Mudokata is thinking because he has, like, Makoto tied up, that he has, like, such strong command of the situation that, in theory, it's more like, I'm gonna use Makoto for a certain amount of time so that then I'll kill him, right? Because he's very effective bait. I think, honestly, though, even though we're poking holes in Mudokata's plan, that's not, like, a bad thing. That's not,
a plot hole or anything. As we said, he's a blowhard. It's fine that we blow a hole in it, that we're, like, poking holes in his plan. His plan has holes in it.
Yeah.
That's by design. It's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can't even conceive of part of the plan where Makoto doesn't die, because he's like, well, even if you aren't, like, involved with any of this, like, you being there means that the surviving despair member can just use you as a puppet or whatever, because you're just a goody-two-shoes little bitch, so I'm gonna kill you no matter what.
Goody-two-shoes little bitch.
Hate when I'm a goody-two-shoes little bitch, so Jen decides to kill me no matter what.
Hate it that so sucks. Much. But yeah, you know, you have Kyoko. It's really cool. Like, I really love, like, Tengen as a character, like, the chairman. Like,
I don't trust that fucker.
Yeah, me neither, but, like, his, like, I think it really helps that, again, like, as we talked about before, this is the guy who voiced Fuhrer Bradley in Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, and he has that just little bit of, like, that deep, gravelly, like, sort of voice when he's doing certain things, and it's, like, Tengen's cool. Like, in this episode, like, he sees Sakakura attack them with, like, with a chair. And instantly he figures out, oh, this must be his NG code or something related to that.
I feel like I called that last episode. That he can't use his fists.
Right.
Which, I mean, like, that's a very reasonable NG code to put on the Ultimate Boxer to make sure he doesn't...
What?
Didn't he use his fist earlier when he punched the farmer guy and...
The game had not started at that point.
But that triggered that other person's NG code.
Well, what was it? No, he kicked. I think he kicked the animator.
No, he kicked him. Yeah, he hit him with
the... Yeah, he kneed the animate Ryota, like, in the stomach. And because he's not specifically allowed to use his fist. But, and again, like, it's something that you... It's one of those things that is really effective about this show is that, like, yeah, even though you, Jackie, like, you called, you know, oh, the Ultimate Boxer can't use his fists, that's just a really satisfying narrative moment.
Yeah, that's still cool. That's still really cool.
It's really cool when, like, Tengen is really going after Sakakura and, like, his fist is, like, 2 centimeters in front of his face and he just makes a snide remark about, oh, you can't use your fists, can you?
Yo, it rocks that, like, he caught himself, too. He was like, oh, shit. He, like, he was going all out, and he was like, oh, man, I have to punch this guy in the face. Wait, no shit, I can't die.
And then Tengen, like, uses...
And Tengen keys in on that, and he's like, oh, of course, you're the Ultimate Boxer. Your entire martial art revolves around punching. You can't punch. I'm gonna beat your ass. And then he does.
What is that? It's like that, it's not like a... hip check that he does that, like, kind of like elbow strike from, I forget the name of the martial art.
Mm-hmm.
Capoeira?
No, not capoeira.
I've completely forgotten the sequence that we're talking about, unfortunately.
Tengen basically, he does that thing that, like, you know, like Miyako uses in Melted Blood.
Like the Baiji Kwan.
Yeah, Baiji Kwan. Yeah, he uses a Baiji Kwan technique to, like,
he does, like, a shoulder throw. Yeah,
yeah. And, like, that's, like, really cool. Like, I will never get tired of cool old man doing martial arts, like, on a guy.
It's like so fucked up that he had, like, a gun in his wrist
the entire time that shoots, like, darts.
So the weapon is identified by Munakata incorrectly as a chujin rather than a shujin.
Mm-hmm.
I actually looked it up. It is a it is not as depicted because it is single use, but it is like a it's a tiny air rifle that you would, like, it's tube shaped and it's single shot and it has a little like dart in it that you would tie. It's called a sleeve arrow. I think it's sleeve arrow or something, but you would hide it in your sleeve, and then you would, like, you know, at an opportune moment you would, like, hit the thing and bam, you would get, like, a surprise attack. You'd shoot them,
right?
But of course, it's not like a rapid fire thing like he has.
Sure, it's you know, for the sake of the show, like, narratively, it'd be kind of like, there's not a whole lot of room of guy who gets one shot. Although that is, like,
I mean, there is actually a whole lot of room. There is. I think that, like, Danganronpa is a very silly series, so it's entirely within its rights to do this. Like, it doesn't break anything that he has, like, a little machine gun shujin.
I just think about the idea of, like, you have, you know, kind of, like, mystery or, mystery, like, storytelling or something like that, where the easiest way to build tension is to just, like, have something in there that the characters can act upon or are unaware of. Like, if you just show one character in this killing game with, like, a single loaded gun, that instantly makes everything way more terrifying and way more tense.
Oh, yeah, it's cool. It throws a big wrench into it. I also like the idea that that what's his name could have killed anybody in that room at any time. Like, there's nothing, there wouldn't have been anything stopping him.
Mm-hmm. The chairman?
Yeah, the chairman. He could have killed anybody with that thing. He had a weapon, and then
a concealed weapon,
rapid fire projectiles. We find, because he's able to engage Munakata with it, we learn that his NG code is not "don't do violence."
Right.
Nothing like nothing is prohibiting him from popping a guy.
Right. Like, so at the very least, with the information that we have now, his NG code allows him to be the most effective person in the room.
Yeah, he is basically wholly unfettered. Speaking of, though, I mean, well, He is pinned down by one thing. There is some rebar through his chest at the moment.
That's a that's man.
It was raw as fuck when he parried Munakata. Well, not parried, but when he grabbed Munakata's sword by like
that was getting so it fucking
right through the hand and then blocking with the barrel of his shujin. That was fucked.
That was fucking
I love when
so
characters do that.
He's just like they're just delivering this incredible like model, like they're just like monologuing at each other or whatever, like of their again real big clash of ideals going on. As he like the fact that you have the chairman like taking the sword hit intentionally, basically, if you know he didn't get that rebar like through his chest, like
never
if he survived,
to use his hand again.
Yeah, he just would
man,
never
lost
be
his hand.
So steely eyed. What is it about being young that makes one so susceptible to fanaticism? Really? You're so deeply cynical, but at the same time so naive. A very dangerous combination. It'll cost lives!
A regrettable price to pay, but necessary. Despair can only be annihilated by those willing to make sacrifices.
Ah, is that a fact? So then I take it Yukizome was one of those sacrifices? You're even more confused than I thought!
There is, like, a lot in, like, actual sword fighting of binding a sword with your hand. Of course, you're not supposed to take the sword, like, head-on through your hand.
Right. But it shows his conviction.
But yeah, right. No, it's cool as fuck. It's always like when a character... I mean, one of my favorite moments in anime ever, which is like the... well, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but it is...
I will, you know,
it is,
you spoil
it is
it,
the
I'll,
climax
I'll...
of Katanagatari, which has a similar... which has
Let's
a
just...
similar thing occur.
Sure.
You
Let's
should
just
watch
leave it at
12
that.
Hours yeah. of the show. 12 hours of the show. And watch just to get to that scene and see what I mean. It is the rawest moment in any anime ever written.
Uh-huh.
And Nisio Isin is a genius. And this scene was also really raw, and whoever wrote it was a genius as well.
Who? So this episode was written by I see the like writer credits. We're in Who is a Liar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kiyomune Miwa. What else has he done? Let's see. Not a lot. He's written like just a one-off episodes of a bunch of other things, but like wrote Fate Apocrypha, Prototype, Cabinary of the Iron Fortress. Like he does have a ton of credits, but honestly, I don't know, fucking shout outs to him. Like that is this episode is like really cool and great, and I'm really happy that like I know Jen's been kind of dreading this idea of Danganronpa 3 takes a downturn, which I know what you're talking about when you're talking about the downturn.
Yeah,
but
I'm excited. I want to trash Danganronpa. I'm so ready. I'm salivating at the thought of going the fuck in on this.
Here's the thing.
I love
really...
being mean and spoiling people's fun.
Exactly. I'm just saying this idea of like, but the thing is we're like what, 8 episodes deep with both of these? Like I'm just having a great time.
Yeah. Well, the thing is the episode we're about to talk about is like the best part of the entire series, and honestly, in my mind, it just goes downhill from there, but...
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for it to be, like... For me to be... I'm so excited for the next episode to happen. For me to be like, oh, this is solidly mid. And then for everything that follows to me, to have me being like, oh, this is so good. Judging by how my reaction to Alter Despair Girls was.
Yeah.
I'm
the
local
thing.
Contrarian.
Well, here's the thing. If you like, I've already said I like Danganronpa 3 as a thing. I think it's cool. But, yeah, but not a ton happens during Future Side, truthfully. It's mostly, like, kind of, like, a little bit more setup, although you do get some words exchanged between the pharmacist, the confectioner, and the blacksmith. Who I forget their names off the top of my head. They exchange some words, and those words are the thing that leads us to Despair Side to a certain degree. Yeah.
Yeah. In addition to that, though, we also get the bit where the programmer in the wheelchair ends up getting taken out after like she pulls out rocket launchers and shit from the chair and just starts firing them.
Yeah, rocks. Right. She just gets like knocked over.
Yeah, and then Jackie, and then you fucking popped off.
It was fucking Monaka this entire time. I was like, oh, we fucking zoomed in on the eyes, and it was like, oh, it's a camera lens, and I'm like, okay, who is this robot? And we see fucking Monaka, and I'm like, okay, you! It's like that who knocked over my onions fucking post.
Right.
Like, and we do. I knew this shit child was lurking in the shadows.
And we got some episodes coming up, I think pretty soon, in which it's just about the Despair Girls.
Fuck yes. Is this why Jen thinks it takes a downward turn? Is that Komaru shows up and she just...
So around episode 7 of Despair Side, Future Side, is going to be about the Ultra Despair Girls, because it's literally called Ultra Despair Girls.
Oh, I'm so excited for the Ultimate Normie to make a comeback.
That part's all right, because I love that cast of Ultra Despair Girls. Kamaru
is so great.
Kamaru's great. It's just all the stuff with the kids is real super fucking uncomfortable.
They walk some stuff back in this show, but I think that, like, if nothing else, even though the thing that I really enjoy about watching Future Side is that it really is, like, the thing I appreciate by making it this, like, super intense, like, werewolf killing game with a lot of action, frankly, means that, like, when you watch these episodes sort of back-to-back, you get this, like, nice bit of, like, high-intensity, high-drama action, right? And I love that. I'll always be there for that. And then we get to, like, you know, Despair Side, and that's kind of, like, the slower, more characterful stuff. And I think that, like, even though I kind of mentioned a few episodes ago about how it'd be nice if, like, these two shows were, like, written by different studios or whatever, the fact is, like, having it be all one team means they can pace this stuff out really effectively. Like, you could just have an episode of, like, you know, Tengen doing Baishikwan, like, fucking shoulder checks and getting his, like, hand sliced and doing, like, cool sword stunts or whatever. And then you get this, like, kind of slower stuff in the next episode, but it's fine because it's all paced together, I think.
So I feel like the Despair Arc episode was less, how would I say, it was less dramatic, and it was kind of extremely silly.
It was very silly.
They called the episode "The Melancholy Surprise and Disappearance of Nagito Komaeda" just to do a Haruhi reference and just be like, yeah.
Well, yeah, he puts in a fucking bomb. He bomb threats the school, but like, I think in like the most comedy Looney Tunes manner. He's a funny guy.
I mean, I like this episode ultimately, but my favorite parts of like this episode is kind of like in the last couple minutes. But you do get a lot of interesting, like, exploration of Nagito, but this is the episode where Jen gets to pop off, because she's had that, like, frame of Nagito in front of the exploded school as her desktop background for basically the entire time since I've been living with her. So that's
why,
about 3 years.
Why
Hold
the
on.
Frame of Nagito in front of the blown-up school, and not the frame of Komaeda in front of the fucking giant Pomeranian?
Now, here's the question. Jed, before you answer that one, how many years was Nagito in the blown-up school was your desktop background before I came in to live with you, so I can really get a time frame on this?
Probably 2018.
Holy shit. You've had this background. It's still your background now, right?
Yeah.
Hold on. Lower the screen. Hold on. It's still there. Yep.
Jesus Christ. Jen, change your fucking background. God.
Hey, change it to the dog, I guess.
Change it to the giant Pomeranian. You need to put the giant Pomeranian up there. Understand that. Was the Pomeranian's talent that it was the ultimate large Pomeranian?
Yeah, obviously.
I love the little wanted poster throughout the classroom, just being like, wanted alive or alive, getting this Pomeranian back.
Well, I like that there's an implication that, like, It was Gundam who managed to tame this massive wild Pomeranian. Because, well,
he would, wouldn't back he? Then.
Yeah, he would, but he has the Pomeranian on his shoulder during
the...
This is
Gintama to me.
Yeah. Fucking Koromaru. No, not Koromaru. No, Sadaharu.
Sadaharu, yeah.
Sadaharu. I was thinking of funny anime dogs. I was going through my mental Rolodex.
There are a lot of funny anime dogs there, out there.
There are a lot. There are a lot out there.
But yeah, like this... Koedo's whole thing here is basically like the jokey thing that high school students just constantly think about.
No.
High school
no.
students
Jen,
constantly think about wait. Bomb threading their school.
No, Jen.
Yeah, Jen.
Rectify that no, statement right
I mean,
now. Thank you, thought
I mean, like, you're about to take a turn.
Not you, no. It was going... I don't have
okay.
these thoughts.
Yeah, this okay. is kind of an insane thought, Jen.
No, I'm saying when I was... When I was in high school and there was just like a test I really didn't want to take, I would just think, okay, I just want there to be a freak accident that doesn't hurt anyone. Just like a giant power outage, or suddenly the sky turns red, or like a giant vortex opens up,
I don't
but
think
no one gets
you
hurt.
Get
Let
off
her finish.
From school if the sky turned red.
Let her finish.
But no one gets hurt or anything. It's just like, okay, things are clearly fucked up right now. We're not going to be able to take this test. Sorry, you have another week to study for it. And that week would be just what I need to get it done. And Komeda is thinking the same thing.
Okay, Jackie, we're going to work on this in post. I need to figure out what music to add to that frankly psychotic monologue just now.
I never said no one would get hurt. It would just be a weird freaking nature accident.
Jen
like,
loves
okay.
to cause immense property damage to avoid taking the test because she didn't study.
Jen
loves
yeah.
being like, oh no, I didn't study. Time to blow up time to blow up the auditorium. Let's go.
Yeah, but the nature of this fantasy is what it when she doesn't. She's
I forgot
the
my
one
textbook. Oh well, time for an impromptu gas leak. Like, Jesus,
oh no!
Jen.
Oh no! Time to sneak into the kitchen and oops, the gas is leaking. And the cafeteria person smoking a cigarette, but it's okay because they're outside.
It was a non-lethal explosion.
A non-lethal.
There's a big difference.
He was blown up. He was blown up into little bitty pieces, but like non-lethal.
Yeah, like
right
well, like
together.
A like a card. He was like Bugs Bunny. Or whatever,
yeah,
right?
He gets blown up. Bugs Bunny makes you smoke a cigar that's not, it's like actually a stick of dynamite. You
yeah,
just kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
huff it down to a little bit and poof, blows up right
yeah,
in the face.
Yeah, like the guy's like lips are behind him and he has to like retch to the front, you know?
Dude, that feels like he'd die from it. I feel like if he did that to a person, they would die from it. I was thinking about
no,
just,
it's fine.
His face was just covered in soot.
sure. Anyway.
See, the thing is, I would just study.
Yeah, but
I would simply
study.
I would just be like. Also, I don't understand why Komeda wasn't just like, oh man, you know, it
well,
sure
I
would
mean,
be fortunate if we all just like guessed and got correct answers.
I mean, one, it's a practical exam, so like, you know, they show in the episode that in order to like pass your exam, you have to demonstrate your talent in some capacity. So they have like the four. They have, like, the five or six, like, teachers or whatever. When they eat the confectioner's candy or whatever, they get personalities, which is quite something.
That was really funny. I love that they were just, like, a bunch of rando NPCs. And then they had a bite of it, and they're like, oh, I'm fully fledged now.
I am of myself.
You gave me depth and texture.
Yes, and now I am shitting myself.
They really did shit themselves big time.
Real big time. And it's like, but the thing is, like, I, you know, we were talking about it on our text chat about how the demonstration of Nagito's power here is one of like less that he is super lucky, and yes, he is obviously super lucky, but it's just causing more like problems around other people. Like, I don't know,
yeah,
you,
like
you put it
it's
better
the way his so like I like the angle they take on his talent, because, like, he's an exceptionally lucky student, yes, but, like, the way they kind of angle it is that his luck works in a way that maximizes the fallout for everyone around him.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, not only, which, I mean, not only is he the most, not only is he the luckiest, but by being around him, you are made unlucky, and by which his luck stands out.
Right. You know? It's kind of like, even at the beginning of the show, I mean, sorry, not to interrupt, but like at the beginning of the show, you have the whole thing about the guy in the truck and it lands on the soda machine and he gets like the like crazy amounts of like Dr. Pepper or whatever. That's still like, that guy had to crash his truck.
Yeah, like I almost feel like the interpretation here is that like these talents are kind of socially destructive. I mean, sorry about the cough there. I am dying.
We all are.
I'm like super dying. I got the cough of death. I got the burk, the tuberculosis, right. Big time. I got the thing that killed Okita Soji.
Yeah. Ripped to a real one.
Ripped. I don't know if Okita Soji.
I don't know. Well,
I don't. I don't know enough about Japanese history.
The girl version in Fate, though, you know,
ripped to ripped to that specific iteration of Saber.
Anyway, go ahead. You were saying something. Maximizing fall.
Yeah. So I feel like a consistent angle through Danganronpa is that the unhealthy cultivation of these talents is kind of turns them destructive. And part of what makes Komaeda such a kind of a shithead, kind of a contemptible shithead, is that like he is kind of enabled, even though like the things that he wants are like pretty bad sometimes, like, or well, they're not necessarily bad, but like there are things, they're not like that bad, but they're things that like maybe, you know, are not in the are not actually in the interests of anyone but him.
Right. Yeah, like...
Jen, go ahead.
Yeah, like, he does mention by the end that he still got what he wanted, even though, like, it didn't happen in the order he wanted it to. But it happened in an order that made him, like, dodge all of the responsibility for it. Like, he still got suspended, but three other people got expelled because of his little shit.
Yeah,
did
like...
Did he get suspended or does he get expelled?
He got an in-school suspension for it.
Sure, right, which is, like, a slap on the wrist, right? Even though, like...
Everybody in his life is made miserable by his fucking...
Right, and his
homeroom teacher gets fired. And
three other students is like his senpais, right?
The blacksmith, the confectioner, and the pharmacist get expelled, and then his own teacher gets assigned to the normie school, which is like a huge demotion.
There are those who are worthy and those not so worthy. We're in one group or the other from the moment we draw our first breath. If a person isn't one of the chosen, there's not much they can do. No one's anointed by elbow grease. It's clear. Inborn talent is simply all that matters. That's our world, and I want to help the worthy shine as brightly as possible. When two species of hope collide, I want to be there to watch the fireworks. Imagine what a privilege that'd be. The chosen ones going head to head as they come into their own.
Hope isn't supposed to be a battlefield. Not like that.
I understand, miss. Don't pay attention to a word I say. Just the philosophical musings of a no one.
Don't ever talk about yourself like that. You're not no one. You're my student. Understand? I'm your teacher and darn proud of it.
Miss Yukizome.
You're all graduating together. You have my word.
3 exceptional students all expelled on the same day. Wounds my sensibilities as a scout.
The bombing garnered quite a bit of media attention. The public's clamoring for the perpetrator.
Yeah, with something this off the rails, I suppose we don't have much of a choice. So, what's the story on Komeda?
I understand the boy was an innocent bystander, unwittingly caught up in someone else's mischief. You're sticking by that assertion.
The thing is, there are more than a handful of eyewitnesses who will swear he was the mastermind. They're rattling for his expulsion, too.
My negligence is to blame. If they need someone to scapegoat, point the finger at me!
Even if your student was the plot's chief architect, he didn't administer the laxatives. Or, for that matter, trigger the bomb, period. We have to look at the bigger picture. If he brought about a measurable result without direct intervention, that's a talent we don't dare let go. That said, of course, the boy has to be suspended, and his homeroom teacher placed on probation. As the assistant homeroom teacher, you will be transferred to the reserve course, which I trust is a satisfactory compromise?
Very much so. Thank you, sir.
Good. The practical exams will be postponed.
Luck is a terrifying thing. Way to go, kid. Way to go.
And rubbing sort of salt in the wound, too, like... Chisa confronts Komaid about this, and he more or less talks about how, like, this was all for the best because, like, this would help the student shine the brightest, and the most she can say when she's facing the administrators and the rest of the class is like, yeah, Komaid, it was just kind of caught up in it. It's a real bad look for him.
That is, like, completely the opposite read. She was taking the fall for Komaeda. Because it's like, oh, yeah. She cares. The way you were putting it, I felt like was, oh, she's like, she doesn't have much she can do. She's still the adult. Mm-hmm. Like, her smacking Komaeda and then, like, kind of telling him, like, basically, you know, smacking him in a very dramatic anime sense, of course, and just kind of telling him, listen, no, you have worth. You have worth as a person, but right now, the shit that you're on needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And she's taking the graceful fall so that, you know, Komaeda could very, again, I'm not trying to apply real world logic to an anime is stupid, and I'm not trying to do that here, but also he could have easily been arrested for terrorism.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like she's explicitly taking the fall for him, for his benefit, because he is still a kid, and you know,
she is the
consequence
the teacher.
Of, yeah.
You know,
she is the adult. She has to be responsible in this instant. So, mm-hmm. And like, of course, when you're a kid, you don't really realize how off, you know, or rather, you know,
you don't know.
I can't say that universally.
Sure.
But, like,
but in this context, and all generally the teenage experience just all around the world tends to be, you think the entire world revolves around you, or you think, you know, yourself is trash and you're worthless or whatever, not realizing the number of people who are supporting you. And again, I'm not trying to say, you know, for
I
people
mean,
that had
yeah,
rough,
I think the thing is that, you know, like, as a, like, so teenagerdom is, of course, the transition. Adolescence is, of course, the transition from, like, being a child to being an adult. And
correct.
Kind of marked by the hallmark of, like, when you are a kid, you don't realize, you're kind of a, like, childhood is kind of inherently solipsistic. Like, things kind of do, like, a lot of things, you think a lot of things exist for you because a lot of things kind of do just exist for you.
Which, to be clear, is a good thing. We should be, you know, supporting and helping children. However, many times, and this is just sort of a non-universal experience of growing into adulthood, is realizing, wait a minute, you have a lot of support networks, like, out there that have been helping you this entire time that you may not have been fully conscious of. And the part of becoming an adult is realizing now it's your responsibility to pass that support to the next generation.
So, huge minor digression, but there is a really good Jacob Geller essay that came out on The Legend of Zelda and how every uh-huh. Zelda is the darkest Zelda. It's like 40 uh-huh. minutes. If you want to pause this podcast and go check it out, it's a banger. One of the things,
Jakey Kelly, I guess. Yeah.
Shout out to the Jelly Bellies. He's yep. a king.
Sure. Jen, you seem to have had a thought that you've been sitting on for a little bit. Go ahead.
I think there's something kind of neat about just the way that after Chisa gets pushed out, there's the bit where she's basically just chatting to Minokata over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, this is pretty good, right? It's all good news for you, because, like, now you're closer to the thing you're spying on, and
Minokata's a dick.
Minokata is such a fucking dick, but yeah. he's supposed to be, but go on.
Well, you basically watch Chisa as she does her best to hold it in vocally, but her tears are basically streaking across
her
cell phone.
Sobbing on the phone, and Minokata is just, like, completely none the wiser. because sure, he is an emotionally dead idiot. He doesn't key in on anybody. Munakata in this sense is kind of, as I was kind of like starting to get at, he is kind of a child in this. He's kind of a man child here. He doesn't view the people around, like, he kind of doesn't view Chisa as somebody with her own interiority. And what I was kind of getting to when I was referencing the Jacob Geller essay is that, like, when you are a child, a lot of things are kind of hidden from you by necessity, because you don't really have, like, the life experience to suss out, like, what that means. One of some of the examples he uses in that video essay of, like, the more, you know, just really basic, like, when you're an adult, you kind of grasp the time, is, like, you know, in that Scooby-Doo live action movie when the woman in the movie is like, oh, my name's Mary Jane, and Shaggy's like, oh, that's like my favorite name, dude. It's like, right. Oh yeah, that's a weed joke. And like, right. In Ratatouille, he's talking about his tiny little, that's his, you know, it's a penis joke. But more like
in real life, how sometimes, like, we tend to not tell children the entire truth about very difficult subject matter.
Yeah, like, you don't explain death to a child in, like, the same way you would explain it to an adult.
Right. You explain that, you know, like, if a grandparent or parent dies, you use very gentle terms. You try to figure out ways to, like, break it to it softly, that you just talk differently to children because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yes. And all these works with dark themes, as he explains, they are in service to, the darkness is always in service to a greater, like, truth about the work, you know, and what the work is trying to express. In The Legend of Zelda specifically, a lot of it's about hope. He gets into that. In Danganronpa, in this context, when we're talking about, like, Komaeda being sheltered and how being sheltered from the actual consequences of his actions, in this case, and how, like, you know,
you wouldn't
have him be, like, responsible, like as a responsible adult in this situation. She's just stepping in to be like, okay, you know, he didn't mean to blow up the school. There are still going to be consequences, of course, but, like, not for him, not to bring the full bear of what he did down. All that property damage that happened, that's not, like, serious to a child. A child has no context for how much an auditorium would cost. A teenager has no context for how much an auditorium would cost. Most adults won't have a context for how much an auditorium costs. But as an adult, if I see an auditorium blown up, and nobody gets injured, my thoughts after, oh god, I hope nobody's hurt, is, wow, that's going to be expensive to replace.
Right.
They're not going to school for months.
Mm-hmm. And to wrap it kind of back around to, like, the themes of, like, what was going on in the episode, when Chisa is crying on the phone, I feel that it's one of those things where she is, like, crying because it's, like, she genuinely loves these kids, like, and she's starting to kind of realize that, like, even though she's already been acting on that the way she supported Chiaki and supported the other members of Class B1, like, she genuinely cares about these kids, and she hates that, you know, she can give the big, like, sort of, it's okay guys, it's only for a few months, like, speech or whatever, but she loves them and cares about them, and she's, like, realizing that as well. And Munakata, of course, is kind of dead to that, because, or not dead to that, but just sort of, like, at, by being this, like, big man child, he doesn't realize that, like, she just cares about these kids and wants to see them succeed, and she's going to do this big, like, move to be part of the reserve course so that Komaeda and the rest don't, like, are still able to continue learning and growing and being children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it rocks that, like, Munakata reading this situation is like, oh, it was a power play, like, oh, of course she was like, oh yeah, you know, I'll take the fall, because
he only that lets her get into
the
thing,
and he's like, he literally just doesn't conceptualize. He literally doesn't have the depth of, like, he doesn't have that depth to him yet, where he can be like, where he could realize, oh yeah, you know,
she
cares for her students.
Yeah, she made this move, and that's the thing that kept that catches Sakakura off guard off of last episode when he remarks that, like, yeah, you acted like a really good teacher just now. It's like, yeah, because she's an incredible teacher.
Yeah, a big thing with the characters is that, like, I kind of like how at this point in their story, they're all kind of like, there's a very wide range of, like, emotional development among them. And I mean mm-hmm. a lot of the conflict in Danganronpa period is just in this show at least so far is just like Munakata is man's going through it. He showed up late to the party for social development. He's speed running the rest of it.
And he also happens to be speed running the like stages of grief because in Future Side, like, Jesus fucking dead.
And yeah, Jesus dead, and honestly, it is at least partially his fault.
Yep.
I love the bit where he's talking about, he's getting into a war of words with the principal, and he's like, hey, some people need to die for hope to be born, and principal's like, oh, okay, so that means your girlfriend too, huh? And his eyes just, like, flash with fury.
Bro, you fucking said it. Like, bro, you literally just said people's got to die. Like, dude.
And he's like, okay, is Chisa part of that equation? All he has to do to, like, needle and get, like, under, like, Munakata's skin is just saying, yeah, your idea, like, he's kind of
if your ideology demands death, okay, cool. Die for it. Sacrifice your friends and family for your ideology if you're not being a punk bitch about it.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and, I mean, that is a thing you'll see with like ideologues fairly often is that, like, or not ideologues, but, like, you know,
people talk about,
claim
honestly?
To have firm commitment to their ideology and then, like, say some pretty heinous shit about, like, where that will go, and you know, then you go like, oh, well, like,
okay, does that include you? Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I mean, this is just a thing in, like, in dealing with people. There's a lot of people out there who will talk a big game, but the moment that they are confronted with, like, the possibility of actually acting upon their own words, they crumble.
Yeah, I mean,
And that's kind of like what makes characters like Tengen in this show so powerful. Not just because, you know, his, like, what was it? Like, his NG code allows him to commit violence or whatever. It's just that he is old as hell and he has convictions that he has clearly refined over decades.
Yeah.
So that's what makes him dangerous and unstoppable in this game. Like, and I think that, like, his physical
man's willing
martial
to kill, man's willing to die.
Yeah, and, like, his martial ability in this show is representative of his utter focused conviction.
Yeah, his lack of fetters. In the same opposite way, Munakata is going to be a Twitch streamer post revolution.
Yeah, he's going to be like, all right, Munakata's like, ninja, okay, we're gonna kill Ninja Munakata Blevins.
Ninja Munakata Blevins. I don't think that
dies,
but
he dyes his hair blue and spikes it up.
Yeah. Oh. God, I mean, he would, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
with his stupid wall hanger sword.
His stupid wall hanger sword puts up a. Here's the thing about. I was about to make another joke that, like, for Munakata that we had to censor last time.
God. I don't even remember the joke that we had to censor
last time. I'll DM it to you, but, like, Jed, me and Jackie have been kind of popping off at these episodes, because I had a great time with these episodes.
I have at least an alright time every time with Danganronpa. Like, Danganronpa, just in general, is, like, when it misses in a way that's, like, kind of funny, and when it hits in a really good way. I think the only time I've ever been, like, legitimately mad at Danganronpa, like, just dead ass, was, like, the 4-hour finale of Danganronpa 2, which was way too much. That was not that bad.
It was still really entertaining to like talk about. But Jen, what are your thoughts
and
on
Shitman, of course?
Yeah, Shitman. Thoughts on these episodes or the show so far?
These episodes were good. Like, I liked all the time they spent with like the ultimate blacksmith and confectioner and
God,
pharmacist,
this puppy
like...
boy in his stupid,
the stupid public puppy plate couple. I love
delicious.
Whenever he says delicious, it's really funny. But I love, I don't remember if this was in part A or part B, but it was definitely in part B, this fair, when the pharmacist and the confectioner were talking, and the confectioner just had the blacksmith and just feeds him like a fist sized lump of candy, pops it in his mouth, and he's like, he just like slowly chews on it with this like stupid, smug, contented expression. And he's like, buddy, you suck so much.
But he's living his best fucking
life. You are such
life.
A mommy GF, like, bastard. I'm going to beat you with a... If I was the ultimate pharmacist, I'd have fucking killed that man with a hammer.
It's like those scenes where, like, the guy's sitting on... Where the guy's laying his head on the girl's lap and she's taking the bit of ear cleaning thing and...
Wait, whoa, what?
Okay, that gets eroticized a lot and I get it, but also...
Yeah,
that's...
I'm saying it's like that except for food.
Lap pillows. Here's the thing. I've yet to see a demonstration of a lap pillow in like any sort of anime context that wasn't like insanely horny.
Oh, hold on. Why ear cleaning? Why did you go to that example? I want to interrogate this slightly.
Hold
on, I want to hear from Jen.
I've seen a really lot of cursed fucking anime over the last year, Kyrie, and several of them had scenes where the male protagonist had his head on the girl's lap and she was cleaning his ears, and he was very happy about that.
Kyrie wants the less online perverts take.
Please illuminate me.
So
oh my god,
it is like commonly a thing, but like there is a very specific intimacy to it, because the way it is often portrayed is you are laying your head on someone's lap as they go in with this very long ear pick with like a cotton swab. It's not like one of the disposable Q-tips, but it's like is there like a generic name for Q-tip? I fucking hate calling my brand
cotton
name.
Cotton swab.
It's not like a generic cotton swab thing where it's like, you know, disposable. It's like this fucking, like, I want to say like, maybe like
implement.
It's like almost half your forearm in length. Just this long ass like wooden dowel with like a, you know, with like a pick on one end, and like a curved pick on like a little like spoon like pick on one end, just very tiny, and a like cotton puff on the other, and then like, you know, there is that like ear sounding that they do and they like, you know, clean out the wax, and it's okay, so like that sounds gross, and I'm sure it is in actuality gross, but like the way that physical intimacy is tends to be characterized in anime and manga and visual novel for perverts and degenerates is erotically. Because I'm going to be honest, anime, visual novel, manga, perverts and degenerates do not know intimacy that is not erotic. They can't conceptualize it. They're just like, oh, my head's on a girl's lap, time to pop a stiffy. And like, I agree, but also like...
I guess it's just in my real life context,
my job. Welcome
everybody
to the podcast.
Welcome everybody. For everyone who joined us after signing up for Otakon.
Welcome to the first episode after Otakon. Kiri's the only normal person. That's why they sent her.
If they
send me to Otakon, if Scanline ever sends me to Otakon,
oh,
they're probably not going to let me back.
Both at Scanline and also at Otakon.
Oh man, here's the thing. I wouldn't do pervert freak shit in public, but like listen, I'm not the blacksmith or the confectioner. I wouldn't do pervert freak shit in public.
Shout outs to everyone at the Danganronpa panel. If you need your pictures, fucking email me so I can send you the group pictures.
Email Kiri. If you want to just send me an email, I don't actually have an email address, so you can't send it to me. Mine's fake.
No, you're right. Shit. Fuck. You've outwitted me again, Jacqueline.
Yeah, I'm going to take photos of you. I'm going to keep them. I'm going to eat them. You're going to, like, print them out.
You're going to print them out.
I'm going to make a video of me eating them. I'm going to eat all your photos, and then I'm going to delete them, and they will no longer exist.
Yeah, you're going to, like, fucking, like, you're going to send it to me, but, like, through, like, some sort of app that deletes it.
I'm going to send it
to
you through Carrier Pigeon, and the Carrier Pigeon will burn it, because I trained them to do violence.
You trade them with, like, a little firecracker that they light, like, and
I taught them the art of the blade, so, like, they will get, you'll have the, like, photo rolled up in your hands, and then the bird will, like, pull out a tiny wakizashi and just cut it up.
And then gets tuberculosis.
And then it gets tuberculosis and dies. It's like, the bird was okay to Soji. That's fucked. That's fucked. But yes, it's true.
Okay. It's funny how Okitosoji keeps getting keeps coming up because I am playing the second half of Hakuoki, where you date the Shinsengumi, for my podcast.
Does he
it
die?
It is true that Jen is Okitosoji is the thing. Like, sorry,
Okitosoji is so fucking funny in Gintama because I think of the Gintama depiction in which he's just this weirdo with a bazooka who keeps trying to kill the name of the guy who runs the Shinsengumi. Fuck.
I'm blanking too.
The one that gets shipped with Gintoki constantly.
Oh god, I don't know.
My brain power is spent because I'm surrounded by like.
Look, I can't help what I learn when Six assigns me anime. Like,
do you mean
Isao?
No, I'm talking not. Oh, that's like the cat, the lead
or
captain.
Hijikata?
I'm talking about the Hijikata. There it is. Yes, the vice captain.
Yeah, whenever I think of Hijikata, I think of Hijikata from Golden Kamuy as the thing. That's like the only interpretation of him. Like, oh yeah, that's the most Hijikata possible.
Where's that multiverse in which, like, I don't know, Doctor Strange shows up, opens up a portal, and every fucked up version of like Hijikata and like Okitosoji comes out. They all die of TB at the same time.
Well, the fate version of Okitosoji just is constantly coughing up blood as a gag, just being like,
that's your coughing up blood sound effect.
Well, when it's a stream of blood, just like a fountain, all I can think of is various characters who just go, bah!
We just go blah.
We need to end this episode. We are.
This episode will never end.
This episode, no, it will end by my hand. I am pulling out the fucking sword.
If you end this episode, I will end you by my hand.
I will train crows to come upon your house.
Too bad I already trained the crows. I already trained the crows.
I trained more crows.
Yeah, well, too bad. My crows are equipped with guns.
My crows are smarter than your guns.
They don't need to be smarter than the guns. They have guns. The entire point of the gun is that you don't need to be good. Is that like you don't need to be good to wield it? You can just pop somebody. You don't need to study the Glock for 10 years to be like halfway decent at it. You just need to point and click.
You need to have some training.
Oh my god!
Don't,
Jen. Do not encourage.
Literally, do not.
I swear to God, I'm trying to end this show.
Literally, that is why the entire point of, like, you need, like, maybe
the entire point of inventing firearms is so that when you have a bunch of farmers doing a revolt, you don't need to train them how to use their sickles and hoes or whatever to fight effectively, to fight against the samurai or whatever. No, you just give them a rifle and they just point.
Japan bought the firearms, and we're talking, like, European firearms.
I know. Okay, European.
Was not revolutions, but like
my metaphors are like defense? Yeah, my metaphors are like super mixed right now because my brain is exploding. You can find me on Twitter at KiriAPage. That is where I post all my stuff. I've been retweeting things. Hey, my interview series of all the people I talked to at Otakon 2022 is coming out on all of August. By the time this comes out, I think 3 out of the 4 are going to be out. really excited. Talk to some really cool people. Jen, where do people find you on the internet?
You can find me at JBU3 on twitter.com. Most of my stuff is on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com.
Please hold it together through the ending.
patreon.com/scanlinemedia. And I also host a visual novel, a narrative gaming book club podcast called Novel.new, a true end podcast, which you can get to by going to readinggames.online. The game this month is Hakuoki Ito Blossoms.
That's going
to
be the game for August?
Yep.
Oh my god. Jackie, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me in your house. I live in your walls.
Damn it! She's here! Good god! Once again, I told you the paper up the portal. Jed, please.
Sorry, I had to go. You go can't get stop me. And
I will simply unpaper the portal.
Yeah. You had to like get your ears cleaned out by like I don't know
by a sex pervert. So yeah.
You're telling me I'm welcome traveling to back podcast, to Edo, Japan, just to get my ears cleaned?
You went to the ancient... If, Jed, you inventing time travel going to the ancient, like, fucking... Like, not even that far along to get your ears cleaned out by Okita Soji, that'd be the least weird thing I learned about you today.
Wow. I feel like Okita Soji was like a normal-looking guy, is the thing.
What was that story? I need to find it. Of this, like, lady found her grandma's journals in, like, old Japanese. It was like, oh, I'll bet she has, like, all these stories from, like, a long time ago. She took it to someone who could read it. It's like, yeah, this is all just, like, Shinsengumi smut that she wrote when she was a teenager.
God, that fucking rocks.
Girls rock. Fujoshis are forever. Jackie, please plug something. Otherwise, I'm going to die.
I'm gonna plug that portal.
Going to plug the porn meter.
You can find me on twitter.bird website at Chairman Mao. That's with and that's like Demon King, like M-A-O-U.
Yeah.
And Chairman, like, you know, Chairman. You know, like really yeah, obvious, chair. Like, come on.
Yeah, come on.
It's if you can't also spell it, like, you got problems that I can't help you with.
Right.
You can also find me on Twitch, your lizard friend.
My lizard friend?
Yeah, that's me. I am your lizard friend.
We need, yeah.
You can also find me on...
doing stuff. You're working on that RPG?
I am working on Mage Engine. I've just overhauled shit yet again. It's taking forever to like get it out the door, but that's largely because I want to make something... that I am proud of, and it is very difficult to get something up to my very high standards.
No, I listen, I get it. Like, I get it.
Expect it by autumn. It should be out by autumn. It's
that'd like, be great.
If it's not out by September 8th, I'm going to commit seppuku, like, big time.
We're gonna send the ravens to your house.
They're gonna send the ravens to my house. I'm gonna get fucking plowed by an armored core.
Yeah.
I mean, there are worse fates to go.
There are worse fates, I guess.
Giant mecha dick is, like, fine by me, I guess.
Oh my god, okay. I need to forcibly end this show. I've been Kyrie.
I've been Jennifer.
Who knows who I've been?
You've been an incredible
fucking friend
and co-host.
I've been everywhere.
Oh my god, class all dismissed.
Right. Yeah, class dismissed. Bye. See ya, fuckers.
See ya.
Only reward the one who advances.